Let me invite you to stand and take your Bibles and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. And I covenant with God that I'm going to study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Loving Father, again you have heard our declaration. We want to be like you. And we ask now, Father, that you would remind us daily that we have this appointment and we would spend time with you each day. We ask, Father, that you would be with me as I bring the message today. Help me to speak clearly and with understanding. And I would ask, Lord, that you would leave this place knowing Jesus better. Thank you for being with us today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want to deal with the subject of prayer at our weekly prayer meeting. We've been studying the book Steps to Christ. In our Sabbath school lesson this quarter, we've been dealing with the subject of worship. And just this last week, in the book Steps to Christ, we dealt with the subject of prayer. And folks, prayer is the key that unlocks heaven's storehouse. And therefore, it should be very much a part of our everyday life, our everyday activities. We should spend much time in prayer. There was an identity crisis in the church. In Old Testament Israel, they needed someone to tell them who they were. They were a ragtag group of slaves on a journey they did not quite understand. So God instructs Moses what to tell the children of Israel. Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 through 6. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. A holy nation, a kingdom of priests. The New Testament church also needed to know who they were. They were a diverse crowd of Jews and Gentiles who had responded to Christ and his disciples in large numbers. And we, too, are part of that New Testament church. Let me share with you again our text from this morning in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 4. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Talking about the New Testament church, so we need not have an identity crisis. And this is good counsel. It says, Therefore, lay aside all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. If indeed, if you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, come to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Precious. Precious is something that's really special, isn't it? Why were they chosen to be precious? I think verse 9 gives us the answer. They were a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. We're talking about the New Testament church today, and that includes all of us. They were called, or we were called, we were chosen to be spokespeople. We were assistants in, or called to be assistants in priestly ministry. Now notice that the initiative is not with the church to choose the priest. The initiative is with Jesus. It is He who has called us. It is He that has assigned us. And it is He that empowers us. He says, you are like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus, or through Jesus Christ. Now, as an individual, that lays great responsibility upon us as a person, doesn't it? It places upon us as a people a great responsibility to offer spiritual sacrifices. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 3, verses 10 and 11, that his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now the thing that kind of jumped out at me from that particular text was this manifold wisdom. What's that? James says, if you lack wisdom, you ask God. Wisdom. This is God's people doing evangelism at its best. We've read from Scripture this morning, when God called us, we became His ambassadors, and we are to accomplish His desire on planet Earth. Jesus turns to His people, His church on earth, to accomplish the task. And on that quest for discovery, it will surely be helpful to look at the church, the people of God, at worship. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, let me invite you to turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we want to know who we are and what we are about. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4. Therefore, he says, I exhort first of all that supplications, We're talking about worship. We're talking about the people of God in community, a people of God that has come together. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet, peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, Paul is speaking to the church, a worshiping, witnessing community, and the church united before God is before God's throne of grace is the church at its best. When God's people come together, the first item on the agenda should always be prayer. What's the first item on the agenda? Prayer. This coming together of people who follow Jesus is an awe-inspiring event, and prayer is the defining activity of God's people. The Church of Jesus Christ has to be more than a group of people who come together on the basis of their ability to get along. In moments of self-awareness, we know that we are all ordinary folks from every walk of life, but in spite of being ordinary people, we are actually priests of God. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. It is the priests that offers sacrifices. So we need to find out what these sacrifices are. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifices of what? Praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Notice the work of the New Testament church. They are to offer sacrifices of praise. And then it goes on to say, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. It's mind-boggling, isn't it, to think that God has made the church a partner with him in the work of salvation, the saving of mankind. The church, people from every walk of life, constitutes heaven's workforce on earth. We, the church, are to communicate the redeeming ministry of Jesus Christ to a world that is sick with sin. What an awesome responsibility God has placed upon us. I believe it's in the book of Ministry of Healing that he says, but when we come to him and we decide that we are going to be obedient and walk in his footsteps, he makes himself responsible for our success. When we involve ourselves in redeeming ministry, we are empowered to do business in his name. We are ambassadors. The United States sends out ambassadors all over the world to these different countries, and that ambassador speaks with the authority of the United States. The church at worship is therefore not a trivial matter. It is serious business. It is not to be taken lightly or in secret. The church is not a people in a cloister, a group that is withdrawn from the world and spends all its time repeating mantras and memorizing prayers. To be sure, we ought to memorize Scripture and pray. To be sure, we are ordinary people who have to work for a living and raise our families. But when the church comes together to worship and adore the risen Lord, they are a people that are transformed. In this setting of church, there is serious involvement and participation required in the ministry of reconciliation. The book of Acts describes what went on in the early church. In Acts chapter 2, 41 through 47, I'm reading from the New International Version now. Those who accept his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their numbers that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to what? Prayer. Every day they continued to meet together in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who are being or who were being saved. Notice what it said there. New believers in Christ were added to the praying community. They were incorporated into the body of Christ. They became a part of the church. And it is the same dynamic today. We cannot have church without coming together and enjoy fellowship with one another. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. Again, I tell you, if two or three on earth agree on anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them also. We are to make our prayers real by earnest labor. Now notice what I'm saying. We are to make our prayers real by earnest labor. There must be action on our part. There's a time to pray. Then there's a time that we should rise from our knees and go to work. When we pray, you see, we are prompted by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that sets the agenda. It is the Holy Spirit that tells us what we ought to pray for. Paul in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God. The Christian church was always uppermost in Paul's thinking. Christians praying, that's what church is all about. Therefore, the prayers that God's people should be praying, they are not to be exclusive. The church must not allow itself to become so obsessed with eternal matters and concerns. The Christian church is a praying church. And the question is, who should we be praying for? What should we be praying about? And the Apostle Paul is very specifically, and he told us what we are to pray about. We've already read it together. We are to pray for mankind. We are to pray for men. We are to pray for kings and those in authority. We are to pray for those individuals who are in trust of leadership. This includes presidents and governors and local officials. The early Christians were encouraged to recognize the legitimacy and the necessity of earthly government. You see, believers must live under all kinds of political systems, whether it is despotic or democratic. Our prayers must be given. And the church's mission is to go forward under the most adverse conditions, even in times of trouble. You know that we have brothers and sisters who live under difficult situations in other parts of the world, but God's worldwide church are praying about these very conditions, aren't we? We're involved in praying for what happens in, you know, these troubled countries of the world. We have brothers and sisters who are there. We have a responsibility to take the three angel messages to these people in other countries. And this kind of prayer, you see, helps us not only to say the right thing and do the wise things, but we are to think about, we are to pray about peace and liberty. It's even appropriate at times that we would let those government leaders know that we are praying for them. Why? Because we need favor so we can finish the work that is to be done. John in vision sees heaven open, and there's a throne in heaven, and someone is sitting upon it, it tells us in Revelation 4, verse 2. You see, what takes place in heaven should expand our understanding that heaven is all about communication, is communicating with others, about God receiving and considering our prayers, our petitions, and even our complaints. The Old Testament typology as the smoke ascending from the altar of incense. Do you remember that in the sanctuary? There in front of the curtain is the altar of incense, and the smoke rises up, wafts over the top of the curtain into the most holy place. But in the original sanctuary above, we're talking about now the original sanctuary, the heavenly sanctuary, the angels are seen assisting, each one as a harp, and they are holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, it tells us in Revelation 5, verse 8, in the NIV scripture. The same scene is repeated, and the details are reiterated in Revelation 8, verse 3 and 4. Now, these are mysterious. They are highly symbolic representations of great realities. The human mind cannot fully grasp the full implications of it all, and certainly the imagery is earthly to convey a reality we have no words for. But in reading these words closely, we can begin to see, if ever so dimly, that central to the plan of redemption is the ministry of presenting the prayers of the earthly saints to the Father. We are to be a people of prayer. The process of prayer is fundamental to the whole work of salvation, and this sacred activity goes on until probation closes, when the angel throws down his censer. And what boggles the mind about prayer is that this all-powerful God calls me to engage in an ongoing conversation with Him. And by this, we are empowered by a fail-safe system for instant and constant communion with Him. in Him, Christ, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We're not just bystanders in this cosmos. We're not just bystanders with no involvement. Our prayers are ascending to the sanctuary above. Amen? In times of crisis, these praying saints, chosen by God and assigned to be His representatives on earth, understand the issues of the day. They understand the realities behind the headlines. We know the times for what they are. We are called to be sentinels. We are called to be light bearers. We are to be keen observers of what's happening in this old world. We realize that there is a quickening in the pace of history. All we, after all, we Seventh-day Adventists are end-time people. Our reading of the prophetic scroll scenario clearly tells us that the end of all things is at hand. And Peter goes on to say, therefore be clear-minded, self-controlled, that you can pray in 1 Peter 4, verse 7. We cannot afford to sleep. The stakes are too high. Sentinels cannot afford to be drowsy and relax their vigilance. Christ gave clear instruction to His saints to await His return in Matthew chapter 24, in Mark chapter 13, and in Luke chapter 21. He warns us against being lulled to sleep. Jesus keeps saying, take heed, keep watch. Take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly, in Luke 21, verse 34. Their hearts, the only antidote for drowsiness, is to have that vital connection with God, to become so familiar with the prophecies and the practical lessons that's found in the Old and New Testament, that they may bring from the treasure houses of God words that are new and that are old, but they bring joy to our hearts, and we can't contain them. We want to share them with others. The praying church has its work cut out for it. The assignment is specific for our time. And the message Ellen White speaks about is for the day in which we live. From Evangelism, page 707, she says, the time has come when through God's messengers the scroll is being unrolled to the world. The Scriptures are being opened up to the world. The crisis deepens. Testimonies, volume 5, pages 717 and 718. The crisis deepens. The powers of darkness join together and viciously attack the praying church. Especially should we, with unwavering faith, seek God for grace and power to be given to His people now. We do not believe that the time has fully come when He would have our liberties restricted. The prophet saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Another angel ascending from the east cried to them, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. This points out the work that we have now to do. A vast responsibility is devolving upon men and women of prayer throughout the land to petition that God will sweep back the clouds of evil and give us a few more years of grace in which to work for the Master. Let us cry to God that the angel may hold the four winds until missionaries shall be sent to all parts of the world and shall proclaim the warning message against disobeying the law of Jehovah. Now, this was probably written 90-100 years ago. And we down there in the end of time should take seriously the work that God has called upon us to do. We should not be lulled asleep. But yet Scripture tells us we are this people of Laodicea. But above all, we should seek now, because we should discern the days in which we live as we watch the headlines, as we see what's happening in the world. Surely the coming of Jesus is closer than ever before. We need to call upon the Holy Spirit to quicken our minds, our hearts, that we may take this message and proclaim it in the neighborhoods in which we live. Folks, we've got sons and daughters who are going to be lost if they don't accept Jesus. What a responsibility rests upon us. Of course, we are first and foremost a praying church, a praying community. We pray for the accomplishment of God's work on the earth, and we second our prayers by vigorous work. We watch, we pray, we work. The time is now, dear hearts, like never before, that we rise from our knees and we go to work. At our church board meeting on September the 12th, it was voted that we should set aside each Wednesday, now listen to this, that we should set aside each Wednesday for fasting and prayer until our evangelistic meetings begin on October the 14th. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We should be about our Father's business, and our Father's business is to tell others about Jesus. So how shall we fast? I'm choosing to do a juice fast. You know, it's very hard on a body to get by without fluids. You choose what how you're going to do it. In the Bible it talks about sackcloth and ashes. It talks about Jesus didn't eat or drink for 40 days. And I'm not encouraging to do that. I'm just encouraging you to set aside one day for fasting and prayer. You choose how you're going to fast. It might be that you're going to cut back on your portions that day, and you're going to spend time in prayer and study. Get the Desire of Ages and begin reading it. Make that your fast. Steps to Christ, make that your fast. Make the Word, whatever. So what shall we pray about? I think what we've seen already from from Scripture this morning, that we should be praying for people. Family, friends, co-workers, neighbors. And also in this fast, we should be searching our own hearts, and we should be putting away sin. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament about Achan and Israel's defeat in Joshua chapter 7, verses 16 through 25. And basically, God was saying to Israel, "Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed thing that is among you," in Joshua 7, verse 24, verse 12. Folks, we are getting ready to do evangelism. We're not on a witch hunt. We're just asking you to fast and search your hearts, because we want God's blessings on our church, on our evangelistic meetings. We want to have this opportunity to share the message that we have with people. And if our hearts are right, I believe with all my heart that God will send the people. We'll be ready. Reference has already been made this morning to those golden bowls in glory that are full of the prayers of saints borne by the angels' hands. And not one of the prayers that is sent up in faith is lost. Now, you may have been praying for your children for years. Maybe someone has been praying for you, or, you know, for somebody out there, and they're already dead. But these prayers that went up on behalf of these individuals are not lost. You know what prayer does? It gives God permission to act in someone else's life. It allows Him to send the Holy Spirit because you asked in faith, believing that He would do what you asked Him to do for your loved one, your friend. And these prayers aren't lost. Ellen White and her friend, Mrs. S. M. Henry, a national evangelist for the temperance movement, carried on a dynamic correspondence. Sister Henry, newly come to Adventism, was a bit disturbed by the apparently slow, seemingly glacial pace of the church's mission. Sister White's response is encouraging. It's even exhilarating. This from Manuscript Release, Volume 1, page 180 and 181. Listen to this. When the third angel's message shall go forth with a loud voice, the old earth shall be lightened with His glory. The Holy Spirit is poured out upon His people. What should we be praying for? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need a revival. In our church, we need a revival in our own hearts. Pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The revenue of glory has been accumulated. Now listen to this. The revenue of glory has been accumulating for this closing work of the third angel's message. Folks, we're living in the last days. The closing message is going forth. The prayers have been ascending for the fulfillment of that promise, the descent of the Holy Spirit. Not one prayer has been lost. Each prayer has been accumulating, ready to overflow and pour forth a healing flood of heavenly influence and accumulated light all over the world. And the opportunity is ours to participate in this prayer ministry. Giving God permission to pour forth His healing flood of heavenly influence upon our family and loved ones and friends and neighbors, co-workers. They may not know God. They may not know what they should be praying for. But the Holy Spirit can move upon their hearts with a healing influence. And they would want to know Jesus. It is our work not just to pray, but to proclaim these three angel messages throughout the land. And that includes where we are living today. I've been working close with Elder Pollitt. We are sending out 38,500 anvils in the surrounding area. Now, I'm believing that God is going to fill this church up. Because we have been praying about this. We've been working to that end. We have prayer warriors. They meet every Wednesday. They're praying about this. And we were asking now that we would begin on this next Wednesday to fast and pray about this matter. Searching our own hearts, because I would not want to have anything in my life that would hinder anyone from coming to know Jesus. Let me tell you this. I believe that we are going to be overwhelmed. 38,000 handbills. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have 50 or 60 guests on opening night?
Now let me tell you something. If you, when you come, we want you to be here. Because we want you to be as excited about this message as what God is. And if you're not here, basically when the people come and they don't see the members, they think, well, these people aren't very excited about it. So you be here. Now, as you see these churches, these pews fill up, you can quietly get up and go back to the fellowship hall. And we'll work something out to put a feed out there that you can watch it on the big screen TV out there. We're going to have a children's program. I don't know how it's all going to work in this little facility, but by God's grace, it will. God will help us. It is our work not just to pray, but we are to proclaim these three angel messages throughout the land. After all, we are a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Aren't we? Amen.